Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Today we're going to be talking about the faith of our founding fathers with one of the nation's experts. That's David Barton, founder of Wall Builders on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and welcome, David, to Faith and Freedom.
Great to be with you, Matt. Appreciate all you do.
You know, David, with a single sheet of parchment and 56 signatures, America began the greatest political journey in human history. But I think the interesting part is so many people do not know the actual faith of those 56 signatures, the people behind those signatures. And that's one thing that you can really help enlighten us with today.
Yeah, and I'm going to elucidate on that just a little bit more. I'm going to say not only do they not know the faith, they don't even know the individuals. It's interesting. I speak at a lot of law schools and universities, and I will frequently display a picture that you see in the rotunda of the Capitol where they're presenting the Declaration to Congress, and that's what we call the signers of the Declaration. And so I'll put that up and say, okay, you guys tell me who you recognize up there. And invariably, they will say Jefferson and Franklin. They usually can't find them, but they do recognize the names. And that's where it stops. And I go, come on, give me some more. There's 56 names. Give me some more. And my son, Tim, who speaks more universities than I do, he keeps a gift card with him. And he's had that gift card. He says, okay, I've got this gift card. If you can name five, if you can identify five of the 56 signers, I'll give you this gift card. He's had the same gift card for 9 years.
And that's tragic because we're supposed to be taking history and social studies starting in middle school and high school, and yet we're still illiterate regarding that.
Yeah, we don't even know them, much less their faith.
Yeah.
I mean, just trying to even figure out who they are for most people today is a real chore, a real project. And the 250th is at least helping to give an opportunity for people to get re-exposed to that. But folks just don't know our heritage and who the heroes were.
So go ahead and take us through some of these. There's 56 signers of that parchment that gave birth to America. Of those 56, how many of those would you say have a real Christian worldview?
I'm going to say 56 out of 56. Are there theological differences that we might have with some? Yes. Thomas Jefferson, late in life, questioned some orthodox positions, but he didn't early in life. And throughout 85% of his life, there's nothing you question. In the latter part of his life, he got in some discussions with John Adams where he kind of questioned some things. So he would be orthodox for 85% of his life and may have been orthodox all the way through. It's just he questions some stuff. Franklin, it's interesting, as I don't think he's a born-again Christian, but as far as the viewpoint, you got to kind of even put Franklin in there. I think Franklin beats most Christians today. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's a guy that, as one example, I mean, he's the guy who publishes all of George Whitefield's sermons.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons the Great Awakening is so effective is because Franklin gets behind it and says, this is awesome, and publishes his sermons all over America. Plus, when he becomes governor in 1785, he comes up with a plan to raise church attendance in Pennsylvania. I mean, that's his governor. He issued calls to prayer that are very orthodox. So even though we don't know of a salvation experience, kind of a born-again experience with Franklin, his worldview was certainly Christian. And people say, well, how about all those affairs he had? Yeah, how about all those affairs? Can you show me one?
Hmm.
He had one child born out of wedlock early, and he never went back in that direction. And he was very moral throughout his life. So it's interesting. There are some rumors out there about like Jefferson and Franklin. That's where people would turn to. I would also say John Adams in the latter part of his life, he became fairly cynical toward Orthodox Christianity because Christians beat him up so badly in his presidential campaign. He just figured, man, if that's Christians, I don't need them anymore. So he had been Orthodox his whole life, but he got stung by Christian behavior, which we all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the only three out of 56 that I can point to that have any questions. And it's not a big deal. I mean, it's kind of a big deal, but it's only late in their life, and they didn't repudiate what they believed earlier in life. So I would say that probably all 56 had a Christian worldview. Whether they're all kind of born again and know Jesus individually, who knows? But I'm going to say at least 50 to 52 out of the 56 we can point to as having a genuine salvation experience.
Tell us about some of those that actually have been part of the Bible associations and some of the other things that they did with regards to the abolition of slavery.
Yeah, great question, Matt. I'm going to back up for a little bit of my journey on how I got into the Founding Fathers. I came across an 1844 Supreme Court decision. You'll remember Vidal versus Girard's executors. There was a school in Philadelphia that had been started by an atheist, and he said, I don't want a clergyman setting foot on the campus with these kids. And that made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court in the 8-0 decision said, no, you're not going to keep religion. If this is a government-run school, you're not going to keep religion out of this government-run school. And so this 8-0 decision, Bible in schools. And as I was reading the decision, they talked about Judge Wilson. And I'm going, he's not on the court. Who's Judge Wilson? And I looked him up, and it is Judge James Wilson, who signed the Declaration and the Constitution. He is a founding father. He's the second most active at the Constitutional Convention. And James Wilson is also an original justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. And so they're quoting Justice Wilson on keeping the Bible in schools. And I go, I've never heard of this guy. And so I started looking around, and I found his original writing. He started the first law school in America. He was sitting on the Supreme Court in 1791 and started doing a law school for students while he's on the Supreme Court. Has a 3-volume set of law books. And so I get in his law books, and he's talking all about how the Bible is the foundation of all law. You can't have good law if it's not built on the Bible. And as he's going through, he talks about Judge Hopkinson. I'm going, who is Hopkinson? So I look him up, and Judge Hopkinson is Judge Francis Hopkinson, who was an original federal judge appointed by George Washington. He signed the Declaration of Independence. And so now I've got him, and I'm looking at his writings, and he's talking about religion in public and religion in schools. And I'm going, wait a minute. I was always told these guys were atheist, agnostics, deists. Matter of fact, my 6th grade history teacher specifically told me that George Washington had 26 illegitimate children, in his words, giving new meaning to the phrase Washington slept here.
What?
Now that's bunk. I didn't know that. I was a 6th grader. So I didn't like the Founding Fathers, and now I'm finding all this stuff in their writings about Christianity and Bible and schools and et cetera. And so it started from that 1844 Supreme Court decision, tracking back guys I'd never heard of, and that's where I started learning these guys. So there are a bunch we can point to as far as even the Bible and schools, but another one I would point to is Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration. John Adams said that of all the Founding Fathers, John Adams said the 3 most notable founding fathers were George Washington, Ben Franklin, and Benjamin Rush. Now, we've never heard of Benjamin Rush hardly. Benjamin Rush, one of the top 3 in John Adams' view, is the guy that in 1791 wrote a piece giving a dozen reasons we would never take the Bible out of schools. It's an awesome piece. We've actually reprinted that because it's so awesome. So here's one of your top founding fathers talking about the Bible in schools. And the year before, in 1790, he wrote a piece that called him the father of public schools under the Constitution. Because 1789, we do the Constitution. 1790, here he says, hey, we used to be 13 nations. Now we're one nation, which means the only way we're going to stay a nation is that we have common things in education. So what are the common things that all 13 states need to be teaching if we're going to remain a nation? And that's where he lays out, it's got to be religion. It's got to be the Bible. That's what we have to do. And so the next year is when he gave a dozen reasons why we'd never take the Bible out of school. So just, I know that's a long answer to a short question, Matt, but those are some of the founding fathers I'd point to immediately that we don't know today that are significant, used to be very significant, and they are very clear on what we should be doing with religion and public life.
You know, I had a similar situation and growing up in school, and they taught me that the founders were theist and deist and things like that. And so what you're telling us, the truth about these people, is so refreshing and so important to know about the foundation of our country.
You know, it's a fun thing too, because confession time, I was a school principal And I taught math and science because I hated history. I stayed completely away from history. I hated history because I hated made-up history, as it turned out.
Yeah.
So really, when you look at the Founding Fathers, they were prolific writers. They have so much stuff. And that's where it gets really interesting, is to go back to what they originally said and what they did. We don't study that today, but we should.
Well, David Barton is our guest, founder of Wall Builders. Their website is wallbuilders.com. I encourage you to go there for incredible resources on the history of America and our founding fathers. And we're going to continue our discussion with David on another Faith and Freedom, so you're not going to want to miss this. And for more information regarding your religious freedom, visit our website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org and make a difference in your community and across the nation.